Welcome to worship, wherever you are, whoever you are, and whatever time you're looking at this video. Welcome. Let's worship our God. From September through to October, the beginning of October, the church celebrates creation time. And so for the call to worship, I've chosen some verses from Psalm 19. Let's hear them. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hidden from its heat. God's creation can be seen all around us, if only we would look. And as we gather together in this space and time, we will feel God's presence as we listen to his word, pray and sing.
As we think on words and silence, let's be still for a moment before the words of our prayer. Holy One, no words can describe you fully. Each word is but a tiny candlelight. Together they build up into a candelabra, beaming its light upon you but never fully capturing you. Each generation creates new words for you, trying to understand you more fully, trying to help others understand you, and drawing them nearer to you. All creation speaks of your glory, sunrises and sunsets, beginning and ending each day, moonlight dancing on the oceans as the world sleeps. You speak to us of the gentle breeze and the howling gales, in the gushing river waterfalls, and the rain pounding off our windows, in the early morning birdsong, and the evening hum of the crickets, midges and beasties, in the laughter of children and the babbling of infants, in so many other ways, if only we would listen. Your sacred word still speaks to us in new and varied ways, reminding us of the truth it holds for us about your never-ending love for all creation and your desire for a relationship with all of it. Forgive us, Lord God, for despite the wonderful senses you have given us, we still too often fail to use them and therefore miss so much of what you want to tell us. Forgive us too when we use our words to shame or hurt another part of your creation. Remind us that you love it all and desire us to love it too. Help us to be better listeners and to use our words simply and gently, building up the body of Christ and his kingdom here and now. Amen. A reading from James chapter 3, reading the first 12 verses. My friends, not many of you should become teachers. As you know, we teachers will be judged with greater strictness than others. All of us often make mistakes. But if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he is perfect and also able to control his whole being. We put a bit into the mouth of a horse to make it obey us, and we're able to make it go where we want. Or think of a ship. Big as it is and driven by such strong winds, it can be steered by a very small rudder, and it goes wherever the pilot wants it to go. So it is with the tongue. Small as it is, it can boast about great things. Just think how large a forest can be set on fire by a tiny flame. And the tongue is like a fire. In a world of wrong, occupying its place in our bodies and spreading evil through our whole being, it sets on fire the entire course of our existence with the fire that comes to it from hell itself. We humans are able to tame and have tamed all other creatures, wild animals and birds, reptiles and fish. But no one has ever been able to tame the tongue. It's evil and uncontrollable, full of deadly poison. We use it to give thanks to our Lord and Father, and also to curse other people who are created in the likeness of God. Words of thanksgiving and cursing pour out from the same mouth. My friends, this should not happen. No spring of water pours out sweet water and bitter water from the same opening. A fig tree, my friends, cannot bear olives. A grapevine cannot bear figs. Nor can a salty spring produce sweet water. Amen.
I'm sure we must have all suffered from a "oops, I shouldn't have said that" moment, when you suddenly realise that what you've been thinking has just come out of your mouth, or that you've been trying so hard not to say something that you actually say it. A bit like the John Cleese moment in Fawlty Towers, when he is told not to mention the war when serving German customers, and in the following scene, every sentence he utters contains some reference to the war. Well, I don't think James was directing his message to the times when we make an occasional innocent slip-up and say the wrong thing, unless, of course, you're in the habit of doing it. No, his message is more directed to those who, for malicious reasons, would spread gossip, as well as those hypocrites who say one thing and do another. And we can learn a great deal from this lesson, this letter from James. It can speak to us, even though it's 2,000 years between being written and us reading it. Having read it and understood it, we will find it will give us a few difficult challenges. The reading tells us about the power of the tongue, a small object, but with great influence. And James gives the example of putting a bit in the mouth of a horse so that the whole movement of the body of the horse can be controlled by the rider. Or the rudder on a ship, again relatively small, but it enables the pilot to steer a huge vessel. Demonstrations of power, but at the same time emphasising the importance of control. Here James is not talking about abstaining from speaking or expressing yourself. He is not pleading for silence that might come from a fear of saying something wrong or hurtful, but he's asking for a wise use of speech. Abstention from anything is never a complete substitute for control. Control, easy to say. And James acknowledges how difficult it is to keep it under control, and he likens the tongue to a fire. A picture which would be very familiar with the people of the day, and to us, both living here in Scotland, but also as we watch news broadcasts from Australia and America. In the tinder-dry conditions of Palestine, a fire was almost immediately out of control. The forest fires in the USA and Australia, wide-ranging and destructive and unstoppable, killing or injuring all in its way, fanned by the slightest breeze and sometimes thought to have been started deliberately. Unless controlled, the damage caused by the tongue can be as destructive as such a fire. William Barclay writes that there are three things that don't come back: the spent arrow, the spoken word, and the lost opportunity. There is nothing so impossible to kill as rumour. Folk will say there's no smoke without fire. There's nothing so impossible to obliterate as an idle and malicious story. Before we speak, let us remember that once a word is spoken, it is gone from our control. Let us think before we speak, because we cannot get it back. His teaching within this passage is very relevant in this day and age, perhaps more so because it's much easier for rumours, stories or misinformation to be spread. Separating truth from fiction can get very confusing when publications can Photoshop people into pictures, which then will implicate them in all sorts of misdeeds. Recordings of voices can be copied and inserted into conversations which never took place and then presented as authentic. Technological capabilities such as these render understanding what is truth and what is fiction extremely difficult. And when they're done, it's usually because they are intent on destroying a person or a government's reputation. Fake news was the battle cry of Donald Trump. and the anti-truth agendas of governments and organisations put their own slant on news stories. So many ways to communicate: mobile phones, Facebook, email, Instagram, text messages, etc. And messaging seems to be the way of communicating. Last week, there was a question asked on one of the breakfast news programmes about what ringtone you had on your phone. And apparently, in the discussion afterwards, it was made clear that it was a generational thing. Only older folk would have a ringtone, because the younger ones have their phones in their hands or in their pockets, and they don't need a ringtone. And anyway, they don't talk to each other, they just send messages. Increasing the methods and means of communicating make control problematic. And as we look at these differing means of spreading the spoken word, we can see easily how rumours and mistruths abound. James is right in describing it like a spark which can start a forest fire, uncontrollable and wide-ranging, destructive and fearful. These 12 verses from James hold such a great deal of meaning. The first 8 verses are about how difficult it is to control what we say, to pause before we speak. And the next few verses give us something else to think about. He goes on to say, "The words of thanksgiving and cursing pour from the same mouth. No spring of water pours out sweet water and bitter water from the same opening. A fig tree cannot bear olives. A grapevine cannot bear figs, nor can a salty spring produce sweet water." Hard and difficult lessons. Here the control is about what is in our thoughts. What we say comes from our thoughts, our feelings, our prejudices, our life's experiences, and our bias. Discerning if the you present to the outside world is the real you. Last week, I was told the story about someone whose father was an elder in the church, and he was going to be leading the service on that particular Sunday. And when the family presented themselves ready to leave for the church, their father decided that his teenage daughters were not appropriately dressed. There then ensued a row. Eventually dressed in an approved way and sitting in the pews, the girls listened to the sermon delivered by their father about gentleness, kindness, love, and tolerance, while the words exchanged in that row rang in their ears. Not an unfamiliar story. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. They become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Amen.
And now we bring our prayers for ourselves and for others. O God, you search us and you know us. We're frail and simple beings, often foolish, sometimes forgetful. We thank you for the gifts of wisdom and truth made known to us through your word. We bring our words for ourselves and for our world near and far. We thank you for your written word, and for all who helped write and translate and commentate upon it, for all who read it and all who preach from it. We pray for the people who try to live daily by your word, for all who live out its life-giving call to serve in love, caring for self and neighbour. We pray for all the people who seek your word in scripture, religion, and nature. May they be blessed in their search and come to know you more fully. We pray for people who find words are used like weapons against them, who have wounds from years of listening to hateful, abusive language used to hurt and isolate them. Lord, in your mercy, may they hear your loving word today. Lord, may our words speak lovingly and wisely always. And from the words of our prayers, let us again dwell in the silence of your presence, our thoughts, our prayers, our longings. We offer them all to you, our God.
Let us dedicate our offering. Father God, you have given us everything, and now we offer our gifts to you. May they be used to build your kingdom, and may they be used as a sign that we want to dedicate our very selves to you. Amen. Now let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen.
Us out in the power of your Spirit, as we've received, may we freely give. Send us out, send us out, send us out for your glory. Let all we do be praise to you. Send us out for your glory. Out in the power of your Spirit to show your love everywhere we go. Send us out in the power of your Spirit, Lord, fill us up so we overflow. Send us out, send us out, send us out for your glory. Let all we do be praise to you. Send us out.
The God who called us here, called us together for worship, is now sending us out into the world to put the words we have heard into action. As we have worshipped together, now let us leave here renewed and refreshed to share the good news with those we meet. And may we go with blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for sharing in this worship from the West Highland Peninsulas on YouTube, on video at www.youtube.akfm.org.uk. Or perhaps you've been listening to the podcast where it's available in audio format on iTunes, on Amazon Music and at Audible. However you have been engaging in this, you have been very welcome. For details of all that's happening around the parishes of Strontian, Ardgour and Morvern, do check out akfm.org.uk. Next Sunday, the 19th of September, we celebrate Harvest Thanksgiving at Ardgour Church at 10 o'clock, at Keel Church in Morvern at 12, and in our video worship. And the following Sunday, the 26th, at Strontian Church at 11 o'clock. God bless you all.